Wonderful stuff there from Lisa Gerard from her recording called A Silver Tree. And she hails from the group Dead Can Dance, which did some amazing recordings in their time. And you are now tuned to 90.3 WCBC in Newton. And it is now time for Expanding Awareness, and which I most often do. Conduct live interviews, either regarding some aspect of the paranormal. I might feature holistic health, and we cover environmental issues from time to time, and progressive ideas and such. And with us live in studio is Mary Terhune. She is a registered nurse and international Hay House author of Out of the Blue, True Life Experiences of Awakening, Revelation, and Transformation. And she is a Sacred Connections bodywork therapist and Reiki practitioner. And she also works with Traeger bodywork and breathwork and meditation. And she's also a homeopathic educator. And we're going to discuss her experiences of near-death experiences and what her awakening experiences have been. And our topic will cover ascension of humanity here on Earth and the next frontier of consciousness. And she will be having a free presentation sponsored by the International Association of Near-Death Studies at the Needham Library this coming Saturday the 7th from 10 to noon. And it is free, but you might register at ians.boston@gmail.com. So good morning to you, Mary.
Good morning, Victor.
All right. What happened to you?
What happened to me? You know, it's been 10 years since I've been in the studio with you before.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, so, welcome back.
Thanks. I made it. I just want to talk a little bit about my book. I want to do a shout out to Raymond Moody, who actually wrote the foreword for my book. Of course, Raymond Moody is the famous psychiatrist who wrote Life After Life back in the 70s and dealt with his clients who had near-death experiences, and he's the one who coined the term NDEs. And I also want to shout out to Wayne Dyer of the Hay House PBS fame. Wayne, as we know, passed in August of 2000, I think it was 15. And he's the one who made certain that my book went from a self-published version to being published by Hay House. And the way that happened was very funny, and it's also in the beginning of my book how that all came about. It was quite miraculous. So at the IANS presentation I'm also doing a PowerPoint presentation. I'll be talking a little bit about how I awakened, when that happened. It actually happened when I was living in Newton so many years ago. And I'll be talking about that, but mainly I really want to talk about the ascension of humanity here on Earth, this big transformational process that we are going through now. And I was just looking at Eckhart Tolle's book the other day, A New Earth, and in it he says, the closer we get to the end of our present evolutionary stage, the more dysfunctional the ego becomes. And he likened this process to the way a caterpillar becomes dysfunctional just before it transforms into a butterfly.
What does it do?
And
what does the caterpillar do to be dysfunctional?
Well, it goes into its cocoon, yeah. And then it completely just changes and shifts in, and comes out as this amazing butterfly. It's no longer tethered to the earth and form,
right?
But rises up and flies. And that's a lot like what's happening in humanity at this time. We're taking an evolutionary leap, moving from an identity of form and thought to an identity of being, this space between thoughts. The space between thoughts is a very important space because it's not empty. It's the state of being. It's a state of being. It's our true presence. It's a state of love and bliss and peace and true happiness. So we're moving from focusing on thinking we're this separate egoic persona as a person separate from everyone to having the experience that we are that space between thoughts, this presence, this light. And in my work that I'm focusing in on now, Sacred Connections Body Work, people are having this kind of experience for themselves. And if I could read to you this one experience that someone have, it really kind of gives an idea of what I'm talking about. And she says, during my last session with Mary, while lying on the massage table, I could feel a flow of energy coming from a fountainhead of light down through the top of my head and out through my feet. I had the experience of the core life force energy coursing through my body and manifesting itself within me. I felt like I had reunited with soul energy and radiated as a being of light while in human form. There was no personal past, just a present awareness of walking in the light as the light. Mary was able to facilitate the shift, which was such a gift to experience a true lightness of being in place of the conditional, familiar, dense body energy. And so Eckhart certainly speaks about this wonderfully in his book, and I really resonate with the way he understands this process. And so this is the work that we are doing now as humanity, making this evolutionary leap from feeling we're this lonely, separated, egoic bodies into having this awareness, this ascension of awareness in us that says, wait a minute, I'm more than that. Who am I? Why am I here? And my experience, my ascension process experience began many, many years ago. And I haven't really spoken about it so directly, but the time is now to speak about it and to reclaim this natural state that we have, moving from recurrent thoughts that continue, you know, the voice in the head, these repetitive thoughts, and creating a life story out of that, to moving into that state of being between thoughts, our true state. And in that state, there's no doership, there's just beingship. And then things happen naturally. And it is a phenomenal state of love. It's not a transactional love, it's a state of love because its state is love. And from that, everything can happen. And we're no longer trapped in this identity as being separate people, which creates fear. And we're moving into this state of love that we truly are. And miracles happen out of that state.
But the world right now is in such a mess. There are more refugees than there were in World War II.
Yeah.
There's starvation over many continents,
that's
like
right.
In Africa. There'd be people who would say, you know, well, what evidence is there for this evolution? All right, particular persons like yourself have had these transcendent experiences, but we don't see this really globally. In fact, things look like they're going in the opposite direction.
And they are falling apart because we've built the world from an egoic structure of separateness and fear and lack. This is how we have built our world. We have built our world on that structure. And that's why we are moving into a new way. And you can see it with the marches that are happening. You can see it, the young millennials stepping up, these new leaders who understand that something else needs to happen and is happening within them. I mean, they're the new leaders, the new activists, the ones that are inclusive of everyone and do not want to live in fear. They want to live in their fullness of their being. And so because we have built the world from an egoic structure state and this energy of evolution is coursing through us, all of these structures that we have built from that separate fearful state are falling apart. It's not working. And this is the evolutionary leap that we are making now to create in a much different way, to create structures from that inclusive state, that state of oneness, that state of knowing that there's plenty for everyone in everything, and to be bountiful. That is the real truth, and we just want to stop, you know, living in this very suffering, lonely, fearful way of life. And this is the work I'm involved in, to help person by person open to that state within them, reclaim that state. This is the evolutionary leap that we're making. So all the structures around us, the government, medical system, educational system, is all falling apart because it was built from that way of thinking.
Right. You haven't told us about your personal experiences with near-death experiences or your transcendent experiences.
Well, my near-death experience came a few months after the experience of ascension happened. And my first near-death experience actually happened when I was working at MIT. And I would meditate during lunch. And this one day, as I was meditating in the lobby of the electrical engineering building facing Mass Ave, I was meditating in there because it was cold outside. I think it was in November. And I was reading an article about this transcendent sage who once lived here on Earth. And I was really missing that I would never get to meet him. And so I put down the book and I closed my eyes and to meditate. And I heard this voice that says, "Are you ready?" And I thought, oh, that's just a student. They see I'm meditating. They're just bothering me, so I won't pay any attention to them. And then I heard the voice again, "Are you ready?" And I turned my attention to the voice. And even though my eyes were closed, I saw this monk in orange robes approaching me. And my first thought was, oh my God, people have these experiences where they see people while they're meditating. It's really real and it's happening to me. And he walked towards me. And as he walked towards me, he turned into this swirling galaxy, the Milky Way. And his energy entered my solar plexus. And with that, it set off this entire process inside me, this whole process of energy inside me that made so much noise. These nadas, they're called nadas, these divine sounds with conches and bells and the sound of the wind. And this energy started moving up, all the way up to my shoulders, and now it was reaching my ears, and it was so loud that I thought my eardrums would burst. And then just as it went a little further, I realize, I think I'm leaving my body. I think I'm going to die. And I thought, well, I have a daughter. I can't go now. But he encouraged me and he said, don't worry, it's okay. So I left right out through the top of my head. And before you know it, I was in this place with these two big windows of light, one above the other. And the light coming from it was so powerful and it was so electromagnetic. The love, like nothing I've ever felt before, kept drawing me to it. And I went to move towards it. And then this sage said to me, "Not yet." And I realized, I can't go. I can't leave. I have to go back to wherever I was. But I had no memory of where I was. In fact, I had no memory of having a body at all. I was just me. I was this pure consciousness light living and being without a physical body. But when he said, "Not yet," I realized I had to go back to wherever it was that I came from. So I looked down and I saw this silvery cord floating out in space and it was attached to me. And I realized I had to focus all my attention on that cord. Move down that cord all the way. And as I moved down that cord, all of a sudden this vista opened up and I saw our solar system, Jupiter, Saturn. And I moved past those planets in this wonderment, and I wondered where I was going. And finally, this cord led to Earth. And as I followed it down, it was sort of like MapQuest, you know, where you zoom in and out. And I was zooming to Earth, and I realized, oh, I'm going to North America. And then I realized, oh, I'm going to Massachusetts. And then, oh, I'm going to MIT. And just as I went through the ceiling of this electrical engineering building, I'm looking down at this body that's meditating on a bench in the electrical engineering building facing Mass Ave. And I realized that that's the body I have to go back into. I had no connection with it. I didn't know if I was a man or a woman. But I felt like me, completely capable of being and freedom and moving anywhere I wanted to. But I had to go back into that body. And I did that by following the cord back through the top of the head. And when my true self entered this body, it left sort of like with a thump. It was like a thump. And I could feel the confinement of being in a physical body now. And I wasn't happy about it. And at that point, I thought, oh my God, oh no, this is awful. I have to deal with this mind. I have to deal with these thoughts. I have to deal with this life that's persona. This is just awful. And as soon as I said that, the monk or the sage reappeared, and he says, the veil is very thin between here and there. Very thin. And then poof, he disappeared.
Now, why relate that as a near-death experience? It just sounds like a out-of-body experience while meditating.
Near-death experience, I was very conscious of what happened. So near-death experiences, as Ayans is finding out, can occur in many different ways. Mm-hmm. You don't have to leave your physical body in death. And I did have another experience that where I actually did die of a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
And miraculously was brought back to life. And as I was passing, the window of light appeared. That window of light that I hadn't seen before appeared. And I thought, oh, everything's okay. It's fine. And I went into a coma for 3 days. And I was saved. And it was quite miraculous. I have that in the book as how I was saved. So there are many ways. You don't have to die to have a near-death experience. You can have this experience, because what it really is about is connecting with your eternal nature, your eternal light, which is the space between thoughts. That's why I'm encouraging people, and I help people access that when I'm working with them on a table. The first thing I do is have people just go into this place of their breath where they're paying attention to the space between breaths and letting the thoughts go. And then I'll do some work. I'm a massage therapist also. And if they have shoulder problems or low back problems, I help to release that. And I have them go into their breath quite naturally. Then I begin to work and do a little Traeger work where you're rocking the body gently to help the mind release, to help the emotions release, to help the whole body release, and to come into that natural state of the space between thoughts. And that's when experiences can happen. And just as this woman, as this, what I read to you before, that experience that she had. And I have another experience if you want me to recount that.
Yeah, go on.
Other woman also had this experience as well. She said, I recently had the unique and pleasurable experience of a sacred connection bodywork session with Mary Terhune. I have been a massage client of hers, and when she asked if I wanted to experience something new, I accepted without knowing what to expect. Mary guided me through every step, the most important being relaxed and staying aware of my body. As soon as she started the bodywork session, while asking me to be aware of my breath, I experienced an infusion of white light around me and the presence of a divine white being. My body felt illuminated internally, as if hundreds of little lights were turning on in every part. It was relaxing while also being refreshing, unburdening, spiritual, and energizing. Since this experience a week ago, I have had many compliments about how well I look. and how one person commented I had an aura about me. These are people who see me all the time and were not aware of my experience. It is a confirmation to me that I did experience a new level of integration. I have kept it with me, calling it back at intervals, and plan to have it thread the rest of my life on this planet. I very much look forward to my next visit with Mary. And so what people are connecting to now is this state between thoughts, this divine light, this awakened being within them as them. And it's that place of oneness and wholeness. And it's beyond that egoic persona that we've lived with for so long. And this is the big evolutionary leap we're making from that identification with thought to becoming and claiming back that space between thoughts, that state of presence, our true presence, as Eckhart calls it, the space of now or the power of now. And that's what he's really referring to.
Now, many more people are having these near-death experiences because of medical technology, keeping people alive or reviving them who many, many years ago would have passed. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was Moody who talks about, I forget the term he used, but all these people come back and they're like very positive and they radiate this positiveness to others. I think it was Alpha Effect or something like that.
Omega
Effect.
The Omega Effect.
Yeah. Thank you for that. This does suggest, you know, that people are evolving and that a person can assist other people just by their attitude. And most people who come back from near-death experiences have no fear of death.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, when I've had out-of-body experiences and I tell people, you know, I'm looking forward to it, you know, they think, they feel sorry for me. Like they think that I don't enjoy living if I'm looking forward to dying, but it's just not true. Now, I don't know if you have a comment on that experience.
Yeah, this Omega experience is really what I'm talking about when I say reclaiming this space between thoughts, this presence. Our whole purpose now is to evolve and reclaim this on the earth while living in these physical bodies. This is the whole purpose of human evolution, is to reclaim that Omega presence in us, as us. This is the whole reason why we're here.
Now, what definition do you have for the word, the term, or Omega?
Well, it's that God experience of divinity, of omniscience.
Okay.
Of presence.
Okay.
And when I did have that experience back in 1988, prior to this MIT experience, it was so phenomenal that I could hardly believe that this is possible within a human being. But we truly are made to receive, we're built receivers of light to hold it and transmit it, this radiant electromagnetic light whose source is divinity, which is our true divine nature. So the purpose of all these NDEs is for people to let us know that we are eternal beings. We're not a physical body. We have a physical body, but we are eternal beings. And we come and go from this planet. And the whole purpose of being here is to awaken and start creating a world out of that new understanding and that presence of oneness in us that lives in us, coming out of the egoic fear structures into this oneness structure where everything becomes possible, and creating from that space. And this is what's so exciting about this time for humanity. This is the first time that humanity en masse has reached this sort of evolutionary stage. And you can see it. It's happening everywhere. While everything else is crumbling, there are more things rising up that's created out of that space of oneness. So it's an exciting time to be here on this planet.
I interviewed somebody who died in a car accident, and he had the experience of going towards the light and seeing these beings of light, and he was told he had a choice of whether to stay or go back, and he says he wants to stay, but he found himself back.
That happens. I had to go back.
Yeah, but you went back because you were concerned about being a mother to your daughter. And
well, at that point, to be very honest, with that light being right there, I wanted to go.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I was told, you know, people have had this experience where they've reached the light and they said, I love my family, but I have to go.
Yeah.
And they were told, no, you can't. So,
yeah, it's a common phenomenon.
It's a common phenomenon. What I want people to know is that we can have that experience here in our bodies. And this is the whole evolutionary process that we're happening. We're moving out of this continual thoughts, this, you know, the voice in the head, continuously thinking these thoughts. And because we've put so much emphasis and interest on and attention in thoughts, but actually we're the space between thoughts. And when you come to that, that's when you come to that wholeness and that oneness. And then you see it in yourself, and then you see it in others. And as Wayne Dyer once said, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Wow, that's an interesting idea there.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to remind you that you're listening to Expanding Awareness, and my guest for this morning is Mary Terhune, and she is a registered nurse and an international Hay House author of the book Out of the Blue, True Life Experiences of Awakening, Revelation, and Transformation. And I want to open up the phone lines here now at 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686 with your questions, comments, and opinions about what you have heard so far, or maybe you yourself have had a near-death experience or a cosmic consciousness experience while in a meditation. I'd like to hear from you. So do give a call here, 617-552-4686.
And people can find out more about me from my website, marytrehune.com. That's Mary, TERHUNE.com. And I also have offices in Groton, and I'm going to have Groton, Massachusetts, and I'm going to have an office here very soon in Newton, sharing an office with another practitioner in Newton. I think that's going to happen soon. And I'm also wanting to move back into this area, so shout out to anybody who needs a roommate, something that's affordable. Is that possible? I don't know. I hope so, in the Newton area.
Yeah. Maybe some landlord or lady will be generous.
That would be lovely.
to have you. Again, the number here, 617-552-4686. Now, this is kind of a funny thing, but there was this movie. I'm actually going to ask the audience whether they know of it. It was a kind of a funny movie where somebody had a near-death experience and they were going towards the light, and the guy says, what a cliche, I'm going towards the light, when he's like dying. I thought that was just really, really amusing. All right, now talk to us about your upcoming presentation, where and when, and what can folks expect to experience?
Yeah, this is a wonderful group of people attend the IANS conferences. Some of them have had near-death experiences, and IANS is now including spiritually transformative experiences.
That's
that
good.
They call STEs.
Uh-huh.
And so it's including that because they realize that a near-death experience is a spiritual transformative experience, and you can have many different kinds of experiences of one's eternal nature and light and love. And so I'll be doing a PowerPoint presentation. I'll include a lot of the book and, you know, how I awakened and how that all happened, and which was amazing because I was not a believer of much of anything at the time. I was going through a horrific life crisis, and I had, and my mind was thinking all these horrible thoughts about myself, and I couldn't think anymore, and so my mind just stopped thinking. And in that moment, this light entered the room and began to speak to me these seven revelations, and I realized it was the Master Jesus, and not as a religious person. I didn't experience him as part of the Catholic religion. I just experienced him as a realized, transcendent being. And he spoke to me about the ego and about disease and other things, about forgiveness, and that forgiveness was, true forgiveness was about self-forgiveness. It's not about having to forgive others. It's about having to forgive yourself for what you've had to go through in life. And when he spoke about the ego, he said that it's just a persona. It's a mistaken identity. You're really that divine light inside. And he opened up all my chakras, and I had an experience of the chakras and the chakras moving and all the energy moving. It was quite profound, and it changed my sight. When I went outside, I could see these photonic packets of light surrounding the trees everywhere. And then after that whole experience, my sight returned to normal, but he had opened up this third eye, and I could really see love everywhere and in everyone. It was very, very intense for a very long time, for many months. I had trouble functioning at work because I didn't know what this was, and I had no, this was back in the 80s, so I had no one to speak to about it. I wasn't traveling in those circles. I didn't know anyone who I ever heard speak about this kind of experience, so it was rough going for a while, but I knew it was real, and I knew I had been changed, and I could never go back to not knowing. And so it was quite a, that was the beginning, and that happened in Newton, as I say, when I was living in Newton at the time.
Okay, we're going to take a little bit of a music break as we wait for your calls at 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686 for your questions for Mary Terhune on the topic of near-death experiences and the ascension process. Again, the number here is 617-552-4686, and we have a caller online. Good morning. You're on the air with Mary Terhune.
Good morning, Victor and Mary. I'm wondering if you could talk about... I'm sorry, I'm breaking up.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Could you talk more about the forgiveness process and what I know the Course in Miracles talks a lot about forgiveness process, and I was wondering if she's familiar with that course.
I'm familiar with it, though I've never taken it, but I came to more deeply understand what was said to me about true forgiveness being self-forgiveness. It took me a long time to understand that when Jesus said to me, true forgiveness is self-forgiveness. It's not about the other. And it was sort of like there is no other. So the person you have to forgive is yourself for what you have to go through in this life. And it isn't your responsibility to forgive others, that it's really about each of us forgiving our actions, forgiving ourselves, and then forgiveness happens because you're not holding on to or blaming somebody. You know, we all go through can we go through some pretty traumatic things in our lives. And so that was quite a teaching.
So forgiving ourselves for hurting somebody, hurting other people?
Well, forgiving ourselves for having to go through experiences with other people who have hurt us, or other people who we have hurt and behaved in ways that, you know, it's not the way we want to be. So,
okay, so
it's really about self-forgiveness, and then forgiveness, and then forgiveness happens. That's the only way I can explain it.
It sounds like a self-love too, like, you know, giving ourselves a big hug permission to feel guilt, maybe.
Well, then guilt can leave, because guilt is just, you know, beating yourself over the head with a thought, and that's not self-forgiveness, of course. But we're all familiar with that. We've all felt guilt. We've all felt shame. But when we step into that space of self-forgiveness, when we realize, you know, we've had to go through this in order to wake up in our lives or to learn certain things in our lives, and we can forgive ourselves for it. We all go through this.
So. Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you so much for contributing. Again, the number here is 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686. We have several lines, so do keep it ringing, and I'll push that button when it is your turn. 617-552-4686. Now, why do you suppose that forgiveness is... well, let's take this call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, you guys. I just wanted to say, you know, I was listening, and I wanted to really thank the person. I heard them talk about what they learned from the teacher Jesus, and I'm really interested in that teacher too. I actually do a spiritual program, and one of the big things is like accepting your faults. Mm-hmm. And in that, you know, one of the things that you do is you make amends, and sometimes one of the phases you go through is making amends to yourself. You know, where you look at, you know, because of your disease, you look at how you might have harmed other people, but you also harmed yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and so that idea is, you know, I really appreciate that, because this morning, you know, I was really thinking a lot about, making your heart peaceful, and yeah, that what you said was really helpful to that, so I just wanted to share that.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for that. The number here, 617-552-4686. Now, why do you suppose that forgiveness of oneself or others is such a difficult thing for most people?
Well, first of all, we have forgotten who we were, mm-hmm. and we acted out of egoic construct. And when you come to the realization, when you have an awakening, where you realize that everybody is in the same egoic boat and acting out of fear, and once you realize you're not that self, you're not just a separate person with all these quirks and faults, you really, that's a persona you took on, and it was a mistaken identity, actually. But you acted out of it because it acts out of fear, really, and separation. And so once you awaken, then you can forgive yourself when you have the realization. And when you know better, you do better, that sort of thing. So when you understand that you, this oneness that you are, is the oneness in everyone, and that's what connects us, you don't want to harm so-called other, because you realize there is no other per se. There is this oneness that we all share, this amazing omniscient consciousness that we are. And this is the stage we're coming into now in a very real, grounded way within ourselves, embodying this.
Okay, we have a caller online. Good morning. You're on the air with Mary Terhune.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Mary, that's really great what you're saying about forgiving yourself is so important. And I've spent a lot of time trying to forgive other people, and I don't think it was until I forgave myself that I could then forgive others, because we're all connected. Like we're each like a little drop in a big ocean.
Yes.
And we're ourselves, but we're also part of the ocean, too.
Yes.
And what really changed it for me was when I realized the things I was giving myself a hard time for were, there were things I didn't realize, and I didn't want to forgive myself for forgetting details and things. But when I realized I did the best I could with what I had at the moment, then I could forgive myself, because I hadn't remembered how to do certain things, but so then when I realized, okay, it's just forgive yourself, because I did the best I could given the information I had at the time.
Yes.
And then once I could forgive myself, then I could see, okay, I can forgive others.
Yes, it automatically happens. That's beautiful, yes.
Yeah, it might be different for other people. Other people might need to forgive others first, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying what worked for me.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Thank you so much for contributing. Again, the number here is 617-552-4686. Now, I had this experience of being mugged and beat up in South Boston. Somebody came from behind and just started, like, smashing at me with his fists. And I felt so sorry for him, like that his life had to be that way, that he had to exhibit this sort of behavior, you know. I don't know if you want to comment on that or not.
That's a very high stake, Victor. kudos to you. You know, that's a very high understanding.
It was, you know, just how it,
good for you.
How I felt.
Right.
Okay, we have a caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Mary Terhune.
Good morning. I don't have a question. Oh, I got to turn this down. Hold on. I have two comments.
Okay.
One is my experience of forgiveness is that when I get to the higher view, the broader view, the larger view, then there's nothing to forgive. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Mary.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I thought it would.
Yes.
So I love that. I just think it's so beautiful, and it as you say, it just goes away. You know, it's complete. So just that, I wanted to share that. And the second was it was so wonderful to hear you say that about going out through the top of your head, and I think I've heard that before.
Mm.
But you kind of, something clicked conclusively, I suppose, in me when I heard you say that, because I was lying next to my mother when she passed, and you know, in those last minutes, we had just all laid down to sleep, and anyway, and there was something going on, and so I kind of, my attention perked up, and in the last few seconds, there was a like a jolt, and then a third jolt. And what it felt to me like was something was trying to push out through the top of her head.
Yes.
And the hole is too small. And it took three times. And then the third time, she actually got out. Yeah, it was remarkable. And what followed was certainly remarkable as well. But just your saying that kind of completed that for me, just... Yes, that's what happened.
Wonderful. Yes. We're affirming each other. We're affirming this process.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
I know.
All right. Bye now. Okay. The number here, as you know, is 617-552-4686. And my guest for this morning's Expanding Awareness is Mary Terhune. And she is a registered nurse and international Hay House author of the book Out of the Blue: True Life Experiences of Awakening, Revelation, and Transformation. Good morning. You're on the air with Mary Terhune.
Good morning, Victor and Mary.
Good morning.
I've been enjoying listening this morning, and I have a couple of comments, and then maybe a question will arise out of that. I understand what you're saying, and it's so beautiful, a lot of these descriptions. I understand that, you know, this is a unique period on the planet for us to heal our split in knowing, being consciously conscious that we are eternal beings, mm-hmm. and that is a big part of what this is, time is about. And I know for myself that I want to be able to accept this and consciously be aware of it, such that everything that I can accept all of the flawed premises, all of the things that I don't like in myself, in the world, and just be able to experience the bliss, the bliss here on Earth. I find that sometimes when I hear, and this is not to say what you said, but sometimes when people talk about our true self, our eternal self, and then our self here on the planet in these bodies, there's a split even in talking about that, whereas it seems the idea is to accept this journey as a process of transformation.
Yes.
And, I know the Tibetans and certainly other worldviews know that, you know, what we call heaven or where our souls are merged with the totality of the divine is a state of bliss. But in that state, there's no differentiation. There's no ability to transform and to progress, and that's what we come here for. So it seems like we need to bridge our understanding of what this journey is about as well, and try to bring that bliss state here and to be totally conscious. Well, totally. I mean, it comes,
yes,
right? But totally. You know, to experience that bliss, being consciously conscious of our true self,
yes,
as much as we can here on the planet. Why do we have to wait until we're gone?
That's the whole point of the evolutionary leap at this time. And that's what NDEs are telling us.
The what?
That's what NDEs are telling us, essentially. We're eternal. No matter where you are, you're here, you're there, it doesn't matter. You're all in the same place. You know, it's... The state is here. It's just a matter of taking off the blanket of our wrong understanding,
yeah,
to experience it inside. We want to embody it. We're assimilating it, embodying it.
Did you say NDEs?
Yeah, near-death experience people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So the whole point is for us to awaken to it, become curious about it, awaken to this, bring our attention, mm-hmm, and interest to, mm-hmm, this space between thoughts, mm-hmm, to realize it's a true state. And I work with people on how to separate thinking from awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And that's where we are right now. How do we do that?
Yes.
So the voice in the head isn't running the show.
Well, exactly, because that's, yes, what creates our moment-to-moment reality.
Yeah, exactly. And so my work is about helping to separate out that thinking. It's not that you're not going to think, but your attention and interest is on the awareness of the space between thoughts, which is your true state of presence and power and bliss. And it's not about being blissed out. It's about being very anchored in your being and being more aware than you've ever been in your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you give an example or say a little more about what it is, what's the shift that we need to make internally to come into a place of acceptance? Or do we have to love what we hate? What do we have to
do? No, that's, yeah. So it's not about that. It's about moving from the thought process. You know, you're thinking thoughts, that voice in your head. You put a lot of attention to the voice in the head. It just rattles on and on, the same old thoughts. Same old thoughts about people, same old thoughts about friends. And to realize wait a minute. I'm not a thought. I'm not this just this separate being. I am this, and it's an experience. You have to have the experience, and then that says it all, because trying to say it in words is very difficult. But then you have that awareness when you're the space between breaths, the space between thoughts. That's a living, we give no attention to that space.
Mm-hmm.
We give no attention to it at all, and that is our true presence. So when I had my moment of crisis where my mind could no longer think these horrible thoughts, it was like it just stopped thinking, and that's when, boom, the light came in. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In that moment. And that's why when I work with people on the table, I bring that awareness of now through encouraging them to stay in the space between breath and thoughts, and I help their body to completely relax and unwind, and then they can have, boom, then they have the experience. And it says it all.
Okay, yeah.
That says it all.
And do you make a practice of doing that on a daily basis so that when you're dealing with the, you know, mundane and the necessities of life that sometimes aren't so pleasant, then you can have the awareness?
Every moment. Stand in the line in the grocery store. There, practice that one. That's a good one.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. And get out of the thoughts and go into the awareness. And then what you see is that these so-called separate people you're looking at are also this awareness, whether they're aware of it or not, but you're aware of it, and that's what's important.
Mm.
And then when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So you're no longer seeing a persona, especially, you know, if you have friends and you're used to kind of thinking about them in a certain way, and you keep them locked into these thoughts, oh, they're this way, they're that way. But once you let go of that way of approaching someone who you've known for years, and then you move into that state of awareness, then all of a sudden you see them as that mm-hmm. perfection that mm-hmm. they truly are. And if you hold that in yourself and you see it in you, that mm-hmm. opens up that whole field of energy around you, and then people can feel comfortable that no one's your enemy. No, mm-hmm. you know, and you have that sense of peace and acceptance.
Yeah. Can you just, so what do you do? I don't know about you, but when I have, Jaylee, when I have all, we all do, right? We have this, so many responsibilities, and when I'm involved with these various projects and things that carry on my life, it takes all of my focus. It's like I have to stay focused on what needs to be done and think it all through, and sometimes it's very complicated and I have to make sure that I'm covering all the details. And that concentration and that focus it seems like I cannot really let that, I have to stay vigilant with that.
Well, just so, keep coming back. When you finished, you know, let's say you're making dinner and you're focusing on a recipe, okay? You're making the recipe and you're following the different steps.
Yeah.
You can be aware that that's what you're doing. And then when you're finished the thinking process, using your mind to think, come back to the space between breaths, that awareness. Keep coming back to it. And pretty soon you'll be more anchored in that quite naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that quite naturally you'll be able to use the mind and thoughts while you're doing something, but you're more anchored in the presence of awareness. So you're bringing awareness and presence to it. And things happen more easily then, you'll find.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you both. All right. Thank you. So
all right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Okay, you've had these rather spontaneous experiences, okay? You mm-hmm. sat down to meditate. Do you feel that one could invoke this cosmic consciousness, for lack of a better term, experience in oneself?
I would say it comes back to that practice again
mm-hmm.
of paying attention to the space between thoughts. Work on that, because that is where it's located. It's that space between thoughts. Some people say the saints live between the space between thoughts. The saints live between the space between breaths. That space of presence. We haven't thought about that. We think about thoughts, but we don't think about that space. And that is a very powerful space of now. And when you enter into that, invoking that, and sit with that for a while, or just be with it for a while, give a little time to it, a little attention, a little curiosity to it, then see if you can have an experience of that. Basically, we're calling forth ourselves. So consciousness wants to know itself. And so if we put some effort and attention and interest in it, that can unfold for us.
I don't know how this relates, really, but I'm reminded of musicians who say the space between notes.
Exactly.
Is very important.
Exactly. That, yes. In fact, it's the most important.
Okay.
You know, it's the most important.
Okay, we're coming to the end of our time here. Let folks know about your various services. And once again, where will you be presenting your program coming up this coming Saturday?
Right. This Saturday, I will be at the Needham Library in Needham, Mass. The program will be from 10 to 12 on April 7th, Saturday, with IANS in the library, this beautiful room that we have. Please do email for a free registration just so that we have enough chairs. I think we're half full, and we have about maybe 100 chairs, and so it's filling up.
Wow.
So if you email IANS, IANDS .Boston@gmail.com, you can just let them know you're coming. You can bring whoever you want. It's free, as I say, and afterwards we have a luncheon at a restaurant if you want to ask me questions there. You can purchase my book there if you want at the restaurant, the Mandarin restaurant in Needham. And you know, you pay for your own meal and that sort of thing, but usually a good 40 people show up to that as well. And it's kind of fun, and we have conversations. And so that's good. And if you want to make an appointment with me out in Groton, or I think I'm going to be starting to work here in May in Newton, you can call me on my cell or text me at 978-505-9554. And if you can't remember any of that, you can go to my website. Everything is on my website, Mary Terhune, TERHUNE.com.
Okay. Is there anything you want to say in closing regarding the ascension experience? And, let me ask you this. Do you feel that along with people experiencing the light, more light, is there also more darkness, let's say, competing, if you will, if that's a good way to put it?
Well, I wouldn't quite put it that way, because that more is really an illusion. Because that's coming, you know, that's duality, right? It's really, and duality is really quite an illusion. Just like, you know, we're not separate individuals. That's an illusion. Death does not exist. That's an illusion. You can't die. You're